Okay, so hello and welcome to the Bed and Breakfast Coach podcast with me, your host, Yvonne Halling, where we work with clients all over the world to add at least 25% to their revenue in one season, pay less commissions to online travel agents while working less to build what we call a direct bookings business that they love. And today's podcast is a little different from our usual topics as we dive deep into the sometimes thorny subject of personal relationships alongside running your B&B, guest house, or inn. And to help us explore this important subject, I've invited two of the most experienced people in intimate relationships that I know to share their wisdom with us today. Now, I first met Tony and Nikki V back in 2007 when my husband Giles and I were going through a particularly rough patch while running our own B&B in the Champagne region of France. And the knowledge that we personally gained from working with Tony and Nikki V, first at their retreat in Austria, which was a mind-blowing event, totally changed our lives and our perspective on intimate relationships. And over the years, we've kept in touch. And then I trained as a master coach with Tony and Nikki V. And so we have been friends for a long time, and the relationship has been very rewarding and rich, and I know that it's going to be invaluable for you and highly relatable. So if you run a B&B, guest house or inn, with your partner or spouse, and there are some areas where you just wish it could be a bit better, then this episode is for you. So with that said, let's dive in. So Tony and Nikki, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and what kind of work you do and how this can be helpful for B&B owners around the world?
Okay, so yeah, thank you for having us on, Yvonne. It's absolutely a joy to share with the B&B people who, I know we've worked together a little bit on, and I know some of their challenges. And we are fanatics about staying in people's houses, hotels and all of that. So yeah, sort of we are treat us like customers. We're sort of like your customer, hopefully a good customer. Anyway, yeah, our sort of background is really, I always say, I divide my life into two halves, a bit like the Bible, really. I've got the Old Testament, which was a bit of a disaster, and so but you can't change what's already happened. So I always say, look, I put that book on the shelf. It's there. It's my past. Obviously, when you've got a past, if it's still today challenges you, that needs healing. So we can't just throw the book in the bin. We've got to look at it and go, what part of me needs healing in that? And then I was very blessed to find personal development and spiritual development as well along the way. And that was some, 20 odd years ago now. And that took me on a path of self-discovery to discover what I was doing, which is the important element here, because in my Old Testament, I'd have to put my hand up and go, did I think the problems in my life were caused by everybody else? And I'd have to say, yes. But when you really like get into a bit of personal and spiritual development, you realize, you really start to realize, and it's a tough one, that really you are the common denominator in all your problems. Now, if you can take that on the chin, like Mike Tyson, then you open up a world of possibility to have the most incredible life. And I think because obviously we work in business together, working as a couple in a business puts an extra strain, as you well know, Yvonne, on your relationship. So if your relationship's not firing on all cylinders and you're in business, and we get some of our wires crossed, then it's a minefield, or it can become a battle, a war even, So for me, we have learned this personally. We have to put our hands up individually and go, right, I need to sort me out. And if I sort me out, maybe I'll meet somebody else that's sorting themselves out. And that's sort of what happened for us. But today, obviously, we help people in relationships. We have many couples clients. And so we know all their challenges very, very well. And almost everyone's doing the same thing. It's obviously got their own circumstances and situations, but they're pretty much just like you teach people what they're doing wrong in their B&B business or what they're doing that could get them the extra juice out of it. Then, that's true of intimate relationships as well. We know those little tweaks and turns that you can put that will suddenly transform everything. And obviously, when you're in business, it can transform your business too. Sorry, that was a long time, and I haven't let my wife talk.
Probably thinking she's very quiet. Yvonne, you know that the difficulty we have is we both have a very strong opinion on everything, which I know is, of course, a lot of what your listeners and watchers are going to be going through. So yes, hi, I'm Nikki B. And it was interesting when I was just listening to Tony to relate back to both our backgrounds, and it made me think about how so much of what we bring to a relationship where we work together is based on our backgrounds, you know. And so, you know, if this is a real intimate relationship couple who are running B&B together, first thing I can say is we all bring to our intimate relationship stuff from the past. And I was just thinking when Tony said, so you know, my old testament, as he calls it, was very corporate. And that's how I got into personal development. I went from being an operations person to a human resources person, and you know, got into personal development. Tony, on the other hand, was always down the entrepreneurial route. And so what was fascinating for me, just to bring full circle, because he's basically shared, you know, we both of us 20 odd years ago got into personal development and started to understand that we could have, in a positive way, a very positive impact on the experiences we have. Not just how well does our business go, or how well do we, you know, how good the profitability is, or how good our marketing works, or anything. But actually, how we can interact together to have a great time running a business, and to have a, you know, have it actually no, have it actually I can't think of the word, make the business work even better because of us. I mean, you know, how many times do you go into you know, we spend so much of our time traveling. As you know, we've semi-retired now, joke. We seem to be working on more. And we're just doing road trips. That's our thing. So we're in Spain at the moment, blah, blah, blah. Because we now, you know, don't have to be in one place, you know, for the business kind of thing. And I just look back and think of when we first got together, that, you know, when everything was okay, you know, we'd be this couple that have just got together and everything was great. And then as soon as we started working together, all the old, you know, I don't want to make it all wrong, because we bring our experience and knowledge. And of course, I brought my corporate kind of knowledge to the business. Tony brought his entrepreneurial, has never really worked for anybody else in the whole of his life, you know, unemployable. We were very challenged by it. And many of the couples who we've worked with over the years have said, you know, we'd have one funny thing, I must tell you, which is that, you know, we'd have couples come up to us and say, you know, you two work together. How the hell do you make that work? Because, you know, we keep arguing, or we can't get it right, and one of us is good at that. And what do we now? Anyway, all the scenarios that I know, Yvonne, that you've shared with us, so that we can help, you know, your clients as much as possible today. But the other people that used to run up, which is quite interesting to hear, were the ones that said, you see, we hardly see each other. And that's the problem. So, of course,
Yeah,
it's
very
like
true.
Tony said, really, the way that we explain things, the way that we share, you know, like we've already shared one thing, which is you bring your old, you know, your old stuff basically to the relationship and to the business. We've got many examples of what causes it not to work, and then many examples of how you can
I can
definitely
improve.
improve it today.
And the funny thing, Yvonne, I know we're tight for time, we want to keep it tight. But of course, you mentioned the happy house, as we called it in Austria, was an 18 bedroom hotel. And imagine your bed and breakfast and all your rooms filled up with people that have come specifically because they've got a relationship problem. That was 5 years of our life.
It wasn't just your average guest, you know, with all of their issues, because we've all got issues, right? Yeah. They were actually coming for you to help solve their issues. So you had another layer.
Yes. I've never really looked
and
at it like
let's
that.
Let's remember one thing. Every single person that comes to your bed and breakfast is bringing their issues.
Oh, of course.
And so, like, you know, that's why how we handle complaints or how we handle things that people, you know, because we could write a book, let alone people who are listening.
We should do it together. We should do it together.
I mean, yeah. Basically, human beings are walking around with their own Old Testament, not on the shelf.
Right. They're still reading off it, right?
Yes.
And wondering why life isn't working. Anyway, that's brilliant. Thank you very much for that great introduction. I mean, there's so much that we could share here about your experiences in running a hotel in Austria and an intimate retreat centre in Austria at the same time. And my experience from running a B&B and, you know, working with my husband, you working together. But let's just see what we can dig up from some examples here. So here's some scenarios that I have personally witnessed while working with clients around the world. I'm not going to mention any names, but if you can relate to this, you know, I'm sure that there'll be a lot of it would be very relatable. The first thing is, so they both run the business together, right? But can't seem to get it together as a team. And there's sometimes some finger pointing and some blaming going on between them. Can you speak into that?
Of course.
Yes, we'll just try and keep it brief.
Keep it tight. Yeah. So I think actually a very good couple of starter questions that, you know, people can ask themselves. We ask this of all couples, really, honestly. When they're going to work with us, we ask them, you know, these questions. So on a scale of 0 to 10, it's one of our favourite questions, as you know. You know, when you think of your intimate relationship, you know, if you gave it a 10, you'd be going, it's the best it can be. And if you gave it like a 1, it's like a disaster. So what number jumps out at you? And then I always say to couples, like, write it down separately so you're not influencing each other. And, you know, when you need to do this when you're in a good space, not when you're arguing. And then go, okay, you know, like, you know, honestly, my truth is I'm about a 6 at the moment. And then you find out they're normally very close to you. It's very rare one's a 10 and the other one's a 1. It's normally like 1 or 2 points between. So this is a wonderful thing to discover how well you're doing on your intimate relationship or how well is your partner doing. Because what we tend to do is make them wrong. We make them the baddie and we're the goodie. Because that's honestly, look, I always say to people, don't beat yourself up about that, because that's a part of the human experience. It's like we call it the red you, but it's really your ego self. It's like your ego. Look, on many events, I always say to people, put your hand up here, all the people that like being wrong. Well, how many people do you think put their hand up? Not a soul. I said, and then I always go, so who here likes being controlled? Well, nobody ever puts their hand up, you know. So the thing is that is your ego part of you, which most people do not realize they're operating from. So this is like a massive educational opportunity to go, right, so there's another you inside there. We call it the green you. That is a kind, loving, caring, giving, compassionate. You know, there's a whole load of what I call green words. Now, you have to go be honest with yourself and go, yeah, look, am I a blamer? Because blame lives in the red world, as we call it. You know, so do a lot of negative emotions. So our favourites are, like, do you worry? Do you know anyone that worries about anything? I always say, you know. Do you know anybody that ever gets a bit frustrated? Do you know anybody that gets anxious or, you know, suffers from anxiety? Do you know people that get angry? You know, do you know people that get stressed? And of course, what you're describing is almost all people out on the street. But of course, we don't realize that's not us. That is our ego self in operation. So I always go, look, we can cut ourselves a bit of slack and go, right, I didn't actually realize that. There is a part of me that if I could turn that switch off and that switch on, my personal life experience would be different. But the problem is that the red you, let's just, one of my favorite new words is the red you is at some level of misery. There's some level of misery. And if you're in misery, then what happens is the people's experience of you is of your misery. So it's like you inadvertently, unconsciously, as I say, don't beat yourself up, spread that misery. So if you've got two people doing that to each other, you've got a double whammy of misery. So the gift you can give yourself is to, you know, just be okay, whatever score you gave it, and then ask yourself the question, what's in my gap? You know, like if you set a six, for example, you go, so imagine life was like, I always say, look, let's help you get to at least an eight. But if we get you to a nine or a 10, imagine what life would be like if you, all that misery went away and you could live at a 10 out of 10 happiness. I mean, everything will be different. So,
and yeah, just following on from that, if we ask people the question, what number you give your relationship, of course, many, many people are going to base that number on what they're not happy about their partner. And when we ask the person the question, what's in your gap? The answer would be, when people are honest, well, if only he or she would just change, everything would be okay. And we have a, and so what Tony's really explaining is that it's a bit like the old saying, you know, what you put out, you get back. Right. So if you're not in a good place, albeit that it might feel like you that I'm in a good place, it's just he or she is not in a good place. Right. And they're doing stuff that I wouldn't be doing. I'll come back to that in a minute. When you're not aware that the state you're in is impacting your experience, you see, so many people, what the ego does is it looks outside of itself. And it says, I'm unhappy because of that or that person. And so it's interesting because one of the things that we often say to people very early on is we go, I bet you're saying, you know, if he was more like me or she was more like me, everything would be okay. If he was more like me, everything would be okay. But actually, fact, that's not a good scenario, because if he was more like me in my not good state, as Tony says, the red state, the state of, you know, doubt, worry, anxious, frustrated, angry, down, depressed, whatever you kind of call it. If he was more like that, which he likely is, I'm using he and she because it's easier. Then you've got a double whammy of not good state. And that's what we bring, sounds over, you know, we've gone straight in there, typically, Yvonne, as you know us, straight in there to the worst scenario, which is why people are in pain in their relationships. And that sometimes can be compounded, if that's the word, by the fact that they work together. So we're bringing their pain, as Tony called it, sort of like misery, they're bringing that because they're I get a lot of women will say, I'm disappointed, right? I'm disappointed because, you know, I'm working really, really, really hard. And, you know, as you said, finger pointing and blame. And we are often guilty, like I was definitely at the beginning, of going, look, he doesn't understand. You know, I think if we just run the business like I think we should run the business, and if he could just do what I think he would be good doing, like the marketing, the staff, the whatever it is, right, then everything will be all right. But the difficulty for that is that is not the good place to come from. But the second thing is, it's you've got one person in charge. Now, I thought I'd just come with that. It means that if it is the woman, basically she's trying to make all the decisions, which, let's be frank about it, is normally horrible for the man, not just because he doesn't like it, which they don't, but because it's inherently kind of impacting on his masculinity. Now, you know, I've just brought in the second big part of our teaching already, which the first part is look at yourself, look at how you are showing up, and what you're thinking about your partner, what you're thinking about how, you know, finger pointing and blaming. And now also realize the impact of you doing that on your partner.
I think there's another, I know you want to ask another question, Yvonne, but just to give a couple of like little trinkets of things of what needs to happen to move from the red to the green, so that you start to lose that egoic self and start to be a nicer person, you know, because that's actually what happens. You start to become kind and caring and very different. And I guarantee, and I know you've shared this with me in the past, that some B&B owners are probably going to be more kind and caring to their clients than they are to their partner.
And seemingly, you know, yes.
And that's going to be interesting, isn't it? So you go, why are we nice to them, but we're not nice to the person we love? Mm. And I think, look, the very first step into the green world is the challenge that people don't trust each other. Trust is a huge issue in relationships. So I always say there's like a gate that comes down and bans us from trusting. And when that gate's down, then there's no way you can get into the green world. So we have to sort of trust. And the first person you have to trust is yourself to go on this little journey of self-discovery and go, yeah, actually, you know, imagine I could get to an 8, 9, or 10, then everything will be different. So, and I think the other two words, which are Dalai Lama words, which I'm a fan of, one of those is taking responsibility. So the thing you take responsibility for is your energy, your state. Bring the best part of you to your business, but also to your partner at the same time. Mm. But the other word, which we nearly always find is a real challenge, but it's a great word to remember, is the word respect. Mm. When couples are not getting on well, they tend, their respect for each other plummets to a very low level. So these are things that little trinkets where you can go, yeah, that's a little place for me to maybe start.
Yeah, we just so we get all the negative stuff out, right? You may remember, Yvonne, that at one point we were using the work of Gottman, and this is a guy who has studied for, well, will now be 40 years, because when we first met him, it was like 20 years, or when we first came across his work. And his work on intimate relationships is very profound. And just to give you a very, very short scenario of what he did, all the research he did on couples who argue, let's just call it that, is he videoed them and basically got, you know, a load of psychologists and a load of people off the street to tick a box when they saw them do a certain thing. And I'll give you a few examples: to criticize the other person, to defend and justify yourself, to, you know, say things, or to get angry, or to get stonewalling. And he put all this list, and he had the people, not just the psychologists, but to tick them off. And so then what he noticed as he watched these couples over years is that actually the ones that were doing certain things would be able to learn not to do that and get on better. The one that was doing like the top four, you know, were really continuously staying in trouble. And let's be honest, this affects you as individuals, where you're not having a good experience, massively affects your intimacy. That's, you know, that's a huge subject that, you know, was the biggest impact on the relationship, affects the children, affects the business, affects your health, you know, need I go on? And basically said these four things, and they were things like criticism and stonewalling and things. And then he came to the conclusion, as he watched all these couples, that if one thing is present, that relationship will not survive. Mm. And that is contemptuousness. Mm. And in modern day language, I know people will not understand what I mean by that word, but if you break it down, it means, it doesn't mean you know, it means, it doesn't mean I criticize Tony because I say, you know, you could have done that better. You should have done that. You could have done that. It means I'm saying you could have done that differently. See, I wouldn't do it that way. Can you see how that's can you see it?
Yeah, it's like there's a superiority.
People who are listening can't see me, but it's like you almost raise yourself up into, I'm just going to be honest, this was my old pattern, which was a slightly superior stance. Mm. And I wanted to give you that because it's sort of at the bottom of a lot of the problems that you have shared with us and that people are facing.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes, very much so. That superiority and, as you put it, the contempt that creeps in, it's a destroyer, isn't it?
It's
a total destroyer. And also, you know, if you're doing that in your relationship, you know, unconsciously, because, you know, we do this unconsciously, nobody's to blame and it's nobody's fault.
Absolutely.
But we all have a responsibility to work on ourselves, to bring that to the surface so that we can heal whatever caused it.
Absolutely.
Well, to be aware, first of all, to be aware and see the damage it's doing.
Because that will obviously transmit to the guests.
Oh, massive.
Even if you think you've got a big smile on your face and you're being kind, you think you're being kind and you think you're being, you know, the best host, you know, you're doing your best as a host. If you haven't healed the trauma that has caused this to happen in your life, it's caused you to bring this, then it will seep out like a, you know.
Well, when you go out to a hotel or you go out to B&B or you go out to a restaurant, how many times do we, all of us, regardless of what we're doing in our own relationship, see a guy talking down to his wife, or, you know, or a woman talking down to her husband?
Yeah.
How often do we see that? And we kind of go, oh, that we can feel that is not
the
good.
Other thing is that, well, you know, especially with B&Bs, is that you as the owners live normally in that house. You might have your own apartment or whatever, you know, but actually, funny enough, when we took over the hotel, we had our own apartment. The previous owners had their own apartment. And we had the thing feng shuied. It's a bit out there. But anyway, there were two areas where the feng shui person, that I don't know if you've ever seen someone do it, but it's very bizarre. They're having an internal experience. And they, this particular lady, she went around with a bit of a fork and a pendulum. And then she burnt. Every time there was bad energy, it's like she's had a big glug of beer and then go. Anyway, there were two places.
You know, it was quite a big hotel and there was kind of like lots of dining rooms and lounges, you know, and all that's kitchen. One was the kitchen.
And that's because they fell out in the kitchen. And two was the apartment that we then inherited.
But
because
think
that's
about
where
it.
They went.
That's the only place that the clients don't go as well.
Yeah. So, right. But of course, I also go, look, I'm a massive fan.
And then we
fan.
Built an office and we used to fall out in the office.
Yeah, yeah. So we built a new one. Anyway, look, I think environment is a great, very, 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 very important. I mean, that's a lot of berries. But
it's
I
massive.
Always go, look, you know, if you want to grow a thriving business of any type, you have to, for me, this is the most important thing, wow your client.
Yes.
Now, if your energy is low, it's less likely that you can wow them because your energy is ingrained in that business. So as they walk in, it's like we can feel energy. And I know that sounds a bit woo-woo and out there, but like if you imagine, I've asked people to do this, you know, go and stand outside your house and then close your eyes and then just imagine the energy of your house. If you imagine the energy of your house, and if there was a sign, obviously we're going to have the sign of the name of the B&B, but if we took that down and said, what energy is in that house? And you had three words to describe the energy of that house. That is a fantastic exercise. Now, I've seen many people do that with their own house, you know, because we do that with couples, but not particularly. But if you do that, I promise you, about 80% of people that have never done any personal development actually have three quite negative words. So, of course, that's what your guests are walking into. Now, I've seen people with two negative words, one negative word. I've seen people with three great words. They tend to be the people that are in great energy. So it's a really, you know, are tough to do that. Some of these, because, of course, the last person your ego wants to look at is yourself. So we know, that's the toughest thing to do, but it's the biggest gift that you can give yourself to get over yourself and go, right, okay, if we want to get this to be a wow relationship, a wow business, our clients to have a wow experience and give us the best reviews they've ever given, and they don't know why, you know.
Exactly.
Is what we're after. And your relationship, because it's so close, is going to be a big part of that.
But I just wanted to say, bless you. If you're thinking right now, what are the words that would go over the door and they're not good words. Remember that the most common thing that we have found by working with people on their relation, on their intimate relationship, is that most often the energy we bring to the relationship, the energy we create in the house, what we teach our children, is so often the same energy as we were brought up in.
Of course. Mm.
Now, that's a, just let's just sit with that for a second. So this means that it's not your fault. It's so we can't blame ourselves, because some people go from blaming their partner to blaming themselves. Oh, I'm a horrible person. I'm this, I'm that. No. All we're doing is completely unconsciously bringing to this present moment and this business and this relationship what we were unconsciously taught as children. And then, of course, what happens is they say in sort of a lot of the spiritual development stuff is we've had these experiences as children, and then we're piling on more negative experiences as we go into our teens and our 20s and 30s, et cetera, et cetera. And until this moment, and this can be the moment, which is what's so great about what you're doing, Yvonne, is you're bringing to your clients some new information, hopefully today with us, but many, many times through your podcast, is that you're bringing information that can make them just stop for a moment and think, if I want to have a different experience, and I agree with Tony, this is going to have a great effect on your business, even though you might go, well, practically, how does that work?
Right.
You know, energetically, but it can actually bring you so much more to your life. And the words that people use is, I just want peace. Yeah. I just want to feel love. I just want to feel happy. Mm-hmm. And those words are available to you. And so therefore, the first thing to do is sort of say, look, you know, bless me. Just like we're saying, bless my partner. They're just doing the best they can with the resources they've got, or the background they've got, or the feelings they've got, or the emotions they've got going on. But bless me, what am I bringing to it that is completely unconscious? And when I look at my upbringing, or I look at the times I've had in the past, I'm bringing that to the relationship.
Yeah, and honestly, Yvonne, when people get on our training, the most common thing they say when they watch the very first training is, I didn't know any of this. You know, we don't know because we haven't been taught. So as long as you're open to go, right, let me learn some stuff, because I'm doing this and I didn't realize I'm doing it. And maybe today I'm having the first realization that I'm doing something that's actually, I'm contributing to this disconnection. Yeah. And actually I can fix that. Yeah. And it's great when a couple of course go, look at each other and go, well, maybe we need to do something, you know, and suddenly you're doing it together. It's a thing where it can really bring, if you've got a gap in your relationship, you know, the first thing that happens when there's a gap is intimacy goes. Mm. And as soon as intimacy goes, the gap gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Mm. And so the first thing our job is to do is to see if we can help close the gap and get them back together again. Yeah. And of course, it's doable. What you have to do is you have to be, I always go, one of my favorite questions is, either 0 to 10, how committed are you? You must really think this as well. How committed are you to resolving this? You know, and playing full out. So, you know, if you're at a 10, we can help you. But if you're at like a 1 and I can't really be bothered, then you're unhelpable. So the only person, in fact, I heard a guy the other day say, look, if your partner's thirsty, you know, you can't drink the water for him. You can't, you want them. Look, this is the person we love, but you want to try and give them a drink, wouldn't you? But they have to drink it. So we both have to take our own drink. They can't solve it. If all they've been doing is telling us to be different. But actually, what we both need to look at each other and say, why don't we make ourselves the best version of ourselves? Everyone's a winner then, you know. Everyone.
Yeah. So, for example, the thing you could do today is, if you're sitting listening to this podcast on your own, definitely not telling your partner, you should listen to this, but just say, I've listened to this and what I've learned about me is something. And that you might find it useful. And then let them decide whether they're, you know this, Yvonne, if you try and get your husband or your partner, you know, to do something because you're telling them it's a good idea for them.
Yes.
Whereas if you share what you've learned. So I'm trusting that we are very much explaining that it's you first,
yes,
and then it's understanding your partner.
Yes,
it is very much so. And yes, I think, you know, women like me, right, and you, Nikki, I know, who are very assertive and quite dominant people. I know we're both the same on the practically the same on the DISC profiling system. The more you know about yourself, the better. The more Absolutely. You can explore yourself, the more peace you have, the more harmony you have, the more you can bring to the table, both for yourself, so your experience of your life improves dramatically, your experience with your partner improves dramatically, your experience with your business, you know, can improve dramatically, and then the experience with your guests will be completely transformational. I just want to say one thing about what you said, Tony. I want to pick up on that because I think it's really important, is that the guests have a wow experience of you when you go through this process. And of course, this is what we teach in our bed and breakfast, B&B Magic business transformation program. It's not just about the practical tools, because this stuff is fundamental and foundational. And the one thing that you said, Tony, I just want to reiterate, is your guests will have a wow experience and they will be writing you rave reviews and they don't know why. I think that really stood out for me, Tony. So thank you for that nugget.
Yes.
They don't know why, but they had the experience.
If something's not quite right, they'll let it go.
Yes. They will. That's very true.
That was my experience in my B&B. It wasn't the prettiest house. It wasn't the, you know, it wasn't the chateau, shall we say. But I dedicated myself to improving myself.
Yes.
And that in itself improved my business.
Well, that's why I think what you said is absolutely right. And the word that I always use is it's experiential.
Yes.
So it's that they are having an experience that's non-tangible.
Yes.
You know, it's not like, is there tea and coffee? But there was tea and coffee, but they didn't have the tea I liked and there was no biscuits. It's not that tangible. Yes. Right. You can help them build all those little things. You know, have they got a bathrobe? Have they got the right soap? You know, what are they getting for breakfast? All of these things are tangible. But I believe this intangible experiential element has a huge effect on how people walk out.
Huge. And
I don't know, you probably quote this, and I don't know the actual numbers, so you might quote this, but if somebody's a super happy customer, there's something said that they go and tell X number of people.
Yeah.
It's not as many as had a bad experience, they tell a lot more people.
And so, they put it in the review and they put it on social media and they spread it around the world like a virus.
Yes.
But they do.
And you can't get rid of those things.
No.
You know, that's your responsibility to make sure that your reviews are incredible. You know, that's it.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Anyway.
Perfect. Okay, let's move on. That's brilliant. That is just so brilliant. They're writing great reviews and they don't know why. That is just so powerful. Okay, so the next thing is, what would you say to a couple where it's her dream to run a B&B and she's doing it on her own while he has another job externally? So they're not totally bought into... The pair of them are not totally on board. She's on board with her vision and her desire to, you know, open a B&B. And sometimes what I've seen is that she wants him in the B&B, but he's not ready to give up his external job through fear or through financial or whatever, or for his own personal, you know, respect. And maybe he sees himself disappearing if he doesn't have the external job. There's all kinds of things at play here. What would you say to that scenario?
Well, a couple of things. I'm going to dive in with two things that jump out at me, you know, just living in the moment, and I just go, right, two things jumped out at me. Firstly, when you have a separate vision, then what happens for me is you run the risk of becoming two people sharing a house with different ideas in line. So visioning is something we are, you know, famous for. Famous is the wrong word, but something that we include in our program, because it's so important that you create, we funnily use the word, we've got to create an us. So what does this us look like? If the us has got a you and me and they're separate, then you go into struggle. In fact, it is a bit cheesy, but we've got like, we call it the V relationship strategy, okay? Because the V is very, you know, it's very pronounced. So I go, look, when it's not working, you've got the man at the top of the V this side and the woman that side, and there's this big gap in between. Now, the thing that you need to do to get to the bottom where we're back in connection and having magic is firstly, which we've covered very well, is to understand about yourself. Once you know about yourself, you go to step two. So step one, learn about yourself. Step two, learn about the other person. Now, the challenge is when it's men, women, is of course a man's vision, or as he looks out at the world, I always say, funny enough, I've got blue glasses here. He sees the world through blue glasses, yeah? So he goes, look, can't you see that is blue? It's blue. She goes, no, it's not. It's pink. Because she's got pink glasses on. So what we have to do is men have to learn pink language. I had a guy yesterday say, I'm trying to learn Spanish because my wife's Spanish. And I said, well, you've got to learn two languages now. You've got to learn Spanish and you're going to have to learn pink. Because if you can understand her world by understanding the way she speaks. Look, women are primarily emotional creatures, primarily. And we've had a good dose in the modern world, of course, of left brain logic, because that's the way the school system works and the way business works, you know. But women underneath, they're an emotional creature. And men don't understand that. And men, we have to learn that we are much more logical, and under no circumstances can you ever fix an emotional problem with logic. Wow. And that's what men do. They all try it. They go, oh, my woman's crying. You know, men cry inside. They don't cry, you know, get the odd man have a bit of a tear. But most men are crying deep inside them, going, I don't know what to do. And they see their woman crying, and then they try and stop her crying with a load of logic. Yeah, but if we just did this and we just did this, it'll all be fine. Promise you that's not going to work. Yeah. So men have to learn pink language and women have to understand blue language. So when you do that, you are, at least if you get the first, this is our second training, it's a very big piece of training. But when you do that, you're then ready to create an us. Because what it gives you, and I think you, I don't know, but I'm guessing that in B&Bs, there's a lot of jobs.
Yes.
Yeah? A lot of jobs.
Yes.
And so some of those jobs will have a more masculine element.
Yes.
And some will have a more feminine element.
Yes.
Now, I know that's a bit, you know, but look, if we've got crossover in the jobs, and you know it's so much better if you've got an us where you've got clear, you know, clearly these are the things you're good at, clearly these are the things you're good at, and you take massive responsibility for your state and then those jobs, and that helps you create an us. We work as a team, as opposed to when a couple's not working well. You know, we're a bit of football fans, so what we often see is, or often say to clients is, look, at the moment you're playing a game of football, but you're on opposing teams and you're both trying to score goals against each other. Our job as relationship coaches is to get you to realize we're on the same team and we're trying to score goals at the same end. I always say, we come on, I'm your manager, Nick is your trainer. If you get injured, she'll run on with a sponge and rub you down. And you know, it's just a bit of a fun analogy, but it's true. If you really think about it, you know, are your B&B owners, are we on opposing teams trying to have it our way, and do any of our jobs overlap? In which case, we're not really a team. We're not like a Manchester City or a Liverpool, are we? We're going to be in the fourth division or worse. You know, we're going to be doing the best we can without realizing what it takes to be in the Premier League. And this is what it takes: self-awareness. And, you know, good look at yourself and understanding that this person is not like you for so many reasons. But fundamentally, as a woman, Nikki is not like me and I'm not like her. So if we can understand each other's worlds, it's a massive change. So that was a bit of a long answer, but hopefully that helped.
Yes, I just want to say the nugget that came through for me there, it was brilliant. Thanks, Tony. The nugget that came through for me there is to have the shared vision. And so often I find when clients come to me and they're often working with their spouse or partner because it's that type of business. Or as I just said, she's in the business and it's her dream, but it's not his. But they haven't actually shared that with each other.
No,
They
they
haven't
haven't got a
shared
joint
it with
vision.
each other.
They're
They
doing their own thing.
they're doing their own thing. They're running on parallel lines, and there isn't the us at the
Yes,
bottom. I'm
absolutely.
doing the bottom of the V
The
here
V, bottom of the V,
because there
yes.
isn't the shared vision where they haven't actually looked at what do we want our life to be like.
Absolutely.
Yes. First, before shall we run a B&B, right?
Yes.
Because
Sorry, I was going to say, if in taking that scenario that you've shared and what Tony's saying, just to stretch that out a little bit, is that the vision, if whether you are starting out or whether you are have well into the business, to have a vision that is respectful, remember that word that Tony shared earlier, that's respectful of each other's choices. So she might be, her vision is to have this fabulous little or big bed and breakfast. And his vision at the moment is to stay in his role in a job or whatever. Then you can still create an us that's respectful of each other's. Now, the added bit that I want to share, which is really just an example to underpin what Tony said, is when we first got together, I had a corporate coaching business. And actually, Tony was working with entrepreneurs, but he was writing books and things like that. And we were out one day and we're walking along the river. And we've sat at a little pub, and all of a sudden, my phone is gone. And I'm on the phone for about 20 minutes, negotiating some sort of change of fee and, just having a chat with somebody that I'm paying commission to, the kind of thing. And I could almost like feel this kind of, this doesn't, like I feel like separate, right? And I'm not meaning poor him, or I'm not even meaning he was in a bad space. It just felt like we were having this great day together, talking about our future. And all of a sudden, I've got my thing. And we came off the phone. And because we were obviously teaching intimate relationships, we started to take it apart a bit. And I said, actually, which is a little bit what you said before, I said, look, I'm, loving this business. I was thinking until I met you that that would be my business forever. I'd just do it myself, kind of thing. But actually, this feels like I'm a single woman, right? So I'm feeling like I'm responsible for the income and all that, which brought out a certain energy in me, which as a woman, not to go into too point far detail, but just to go, that isn't so natural to us, the hunter-provider kind of role. But anyway, I was in that mode. And I thought, but if I want to be in this relationship, I'd like to have Tony in some way involved. Now, the problem with the left brain, which is the masculine side of the brain, by the way, the logic, as Tony said, is that what women do is they go, right, so let me give him a role in my business that he can do, right? You're laughing, and I hope the other women are laughing as well. And I hope the men who are
Oh my
listening,
God, I'm doing that.
Going, yes, that's exactly what happened. And so what we did is we talked about it. And I said, look, I sort of, I know this isn't quite right for us. And I know that you've got your thing that you love doing and or that you want to be doing. Don't forget, it's not just love it. It's like I feel men will often go, I feel responsible. So I want the feeling of being the person who's earning the money or whatever, even though we've got this business as well. And so we came up with an idea. Now it's just an idea. And it's been, well, for the whole time until we went to Austria, this is how we ran my little business, which was that I was the managing director. So nothing changed for me at all as how I ran my business. But what Tony and I came up with, and I can't remember whose idea it is.
Probably mine.
Let me just pretend that it was Tony's idea, but it was probably mine. I'm joking, right?
We always laugh about that.
We always laugh about who invented things, right? So we come to the conclusion we both did, but,
yeah,
you know, we all know who really did. Anyway, joking. That Tony would be the chairman.
Right.
Now, in corporate world, in large corporate world, you have the what they call the operating executives, and that's the board. And then they have
a chairman, the chairman in.
Who's like, who's like a non, he's always a non-exec, he doesn't work in the business, he's just like
the wise man.
Now, some of the women will be going,
my husband does not fit the wise man.
No, I can bear it. Well, all I can say is, there was something recently came out which said, it was a joke on Facebook. I know what it was. It was, you know, do women ever think quietly to themselves, actually, he's got a lot of wisdom, but I'm actually not hearing it because I'm not asking for any help, kind of thing. And so I think for the business, as we've said, for the relationship, but also for us as women, to ask for something that the man wants to give, rather than being the person who gives him a little job, right, kind of thing.
Yeah, honestly, it was funny. I was walking down the road the other day, and there was this guy who was very overweight, yeah? And he's got his wife, who, bless him, was obviously feeding him, but feeding the kids as well. So they were like the overweight family. And he had this T-shirt on with his big tummy, bless him. And he'd got emblazoned on there. It was a black T-shirt with yellow writing in it. It said, I had to laugh. And then he obviously saw me reading his T-shirt. And his T-shirt said, I thought I retired, but now I work for my wife. So, of course, it's funnier than you think in many ways, because
it's true.
What's great about a bit of humour is actually stand back and go, what are we doing?
What is the shared vision?
We have some clients at the moment, actually, where she is the face of the business. Mm. And we've helped them to have him have the roles he wants to have. He does the marketing. He actually does the customer service part of the business, as she's the speaker. Mm. So, you know, against the sort of, against the sort of natural order of things, I know that's an old-fashioned belief or thing, but against the natural order, which is, you know, that the man is kind of the breadwinner, the hunter provider, that sort of thing, it's actually can work if it's the woman's business, but if she wants him to be involved, and most men want to have an involvement, so then when you create the us, the vision, you create that, and then, you know, maybe there's things that she could do for him as well to make his life better. Now we're on the very small steps, but we're on the path to being an us.
Yes. Definitely. Yes. Very, that again, the nugget that came through for me is that if you haven't talked about or discussed the shared vision before, if you're a new owner and you're just thinking about, and I know there's a lot of new people coming into my Facebook group right now who haven't yet opened a B&B, who are looking for a property, who are like on the journey to their dream business, right? And it's mostly women, not all, but it's mostly women. If you're in that space, then it's very important for you to have the conversation between you and be honest about how you want your lives to be, how you construct that vision that feels good. And of course, the vision changes over time, right? It's not like set it and forget it. It's like an evolving, living, breathing thing. Yeah. And so
we encourage people, you know, in business, you know, sometimes you can look at it through the values of the business. Mm. These are very powerful. You know, what are the values that we bring?
Yeah.
You know, we have that emblazoned all on our walls, you know, and that really works well as well. People go, well, I buy into that, you know, and if we both bought into that. So there's lots of ways of doing it. But I honestly think it's probably a missing ingredient in the cake, you know, and you know what it's like if you leave an important ingredient out. It never tastes or comes out the oven quite
not
like
quite right. It's just not quite right. And you don't know why. Right.
No. But also,
there isn't that foundational vision.
No.
And most importantly, if you have people, which most people, I'm sure, you know, eventually, if even if people are starters, but if they've got a business, they've got people working in the business.
Yes.
And however part-time they are, however volunteering they are, whatever, is if you've got a shared vision, that might be a lot of personal stuff in there, but if there's a shared vision for the business that shows you as a united front, and that you've got the values, not just of how you interact with the clients, with the customers, but how you interact with each other. Now, that sounds a bit rhetoric, sounds like, you know, corporate speak. Honestly, you know, we have seen, you know, Nick, my son, you know, we've seen his business go from tiny to big, and he has values ingrained in that business. And that when people join, that's the first thing they share with them.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that a lot of his success has come from it being a wonderful place to work because there is a shared vision. So he has visions of you know, practical things like how many people and how much money and all that kind of stuff, but also a vision of how they're going to act towards the clients, customer service, but also how they're going to act towards each other.
You know, we're massive fans of using leverage. So look, nobody wants to go and start their dream business to destroy their relationship.
No.
No. So I think that don't underestimate when it, because look, it's going to involve stress. Look, buying a property, one of the most stressful things on the scale, you know. So we're not only buying a property, but we might be doing it up. We might be, you know. But, well, we've obviously got to get it ready. I mean, I've watched some of those programs where people have gone abroad and bought a house and they're doing it up and they've got to get it open. And they said they were going to get it open and this happens and that happens. And they're all, you know, sweating. And, you know, it's tough. It's really a tough time. So going into it with a solid connectedness makes so much sense. Like that we're on that team together, heading in the same direction, rather than, you know, we've now bought the house and you said this and I said that, and you know, you're all over the shop, and that's going to cause you more pain and cause that gap in the relationship, which is not what you got the business for.
Totally.
You were hoping to get a few extra quid so that you'd be, you know, having a few more holidays maybe.
Right. And yeah, just to pull out what you, thanks, that's great, Tony. What, thank you. Just to pull out what you said, Nikki, which stood out for me, is that when you have a clear vision for the business and obviously for your lives, and you convey that unconsciously to your guests, so you're not just any old B&B owner, right? You have a special quality that, again, is intangible. What you said earlier, Tony, it's the intangibles that make you stand out. Everybody delivers delicious breakfasts, everybody's got comfortable beds, but it's the intangibles that set you apart. And what you said, Nikki, I just wanted to reiterate what you said, when you've got that, those values down, and you know what you're about, and that is automatically and unconsciously conveyed to your guests, it's also automatically and unconsciously conveyed to your staff.
Yes.
And then they will, and then that becomes not just any old business where I go and do a bit of cleaning, right? It becomes, you become part, they become part.
You're on the team.
That's right. They're on the team and they know it. And then they'll never leave you. I mean, one of the problems that I hear is, oh, you can't get staff. You can't get good staff, right? So, you know, what we teach in our program is how you become the king and queen of your domain so that everybody feels it. There's mutual respect. There's mutual values.
Yeah,
and that people want to work for you because they are getting that intangible that no one else is providing, because they're all squabbling and they're all, you know, they're all living in the red zone and they're all living in fear and they're all living on parallel lines. There's no shared vision and it's all chaos.
Yes.
Right.
And
that
also,
is like a rare find.
Yes.
You know, and they'll never leave you.
No. And also the irony as well is that when you create that, of course, people will pay more for that.
Exactly.
That's the crazy thing. Yeah?
It is, it's the like crazy thing.
That when they can even stand outside and go, I want to go in here.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I want to go in here because I want to see it because it's just feels right, you know.
Yes,
so
yes.
That feeling not only is inside the building, it sort of emanates outside. It's on your adverts, it's on wherever, it's on your website.
It permeates through everything.
Everything.
Just as the negative stuff permeates through everything as well. The energy.
Absolutely, it's so true.
I mean, so often, in again, my background is managing people, and of course, this that we're just talking about is not only keeps people committed and they'll go the extra mile and they will clean something that they would have just walked past, or they'll, you know, they'll pick something up, or, you know, whatever it is as a member of the team. But also, if you've got someone who's struggling, you can use the values or the agreed customer service ethic or whatever this looks like to help them understand where their gap is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it also means that if you recruit badly, let's not go there. I'm on one of my favorite subjects. If you recruit badly, the person will not be able to survive in that environment.
Right.
Because their expectation is that you work as a team and that you have these values, and therefore they'll just leave. And then you won't get the downside of them being your interaction with your clients. So there's so much benefit. But of course, the ultimate benefit is to you, your intimacy, your kids, you know, and just
the things that really matter.
The real happiness, which will, as we know, a huge, huge thing is that will work for the business as well.
Well, yeah. I love your king and queen analogy. So I'm going in my head. You know, I always come up with these crazy things, but you know, you want to be more like Queen Elizabeth than Henry VIII.
Yes, that's a very good analogy. All right, so we've got just a few minutes left. Yes, the last thing that we probably touched on already, but let's just explore it a little bit. Their social and personal life. So you've got a couple working together. The social and personal life is not that great. And there's a lot of resentment and unspoken frustration that goes on under the surface, while often she puts the business first. Can you speak a little bit to that? And we don't have a lot of time left.
No.
Whatever you can bring.
I'll give you a two liner, really. So my thing is that you need to, we call our time. So we put time aside. Even if you've got a busy diary, put it in the diary and make it not negotiable. So we call it Tony and Nikki time. Okay, we're having Tony and Nikki time today. Because we're on holiday, so we can have Tony and Nikki time. We're very blessed. But anyway, look, I go to couples, you know, when did you last have some time alone, time together? You know, go out to dinner, you know, go wherever you're going to go. Go to the theatre, go to the cinema. Time for you. You have to put that in the diary, because honestly, otherwise, why are you in a relationship? You know, and you need to have that intimate time as well. That intimate time. And so that needs to be in the vision as well. And you need to get it in the diary. That's my two pennies, really.
Yes, I love it. I think that the underneath that little bit is... having this, so if we are happening to be talking to the male in the business, then sort of taking the responsibility for making that happen. The you know, like Tony will say, it's Tony and Nikki time. In fact, we had a client ask for a call this afternoon, but they did say this afternoon or evening, but we prefer this afternoon. And Tony said, you know, yes, we're always available to our clients like 24/7. And we have booked to go to Barcelona this afternoon. And he said, that's not cancelled. You know, we're not going to cancel it. So we'll get back and assist them later. So Tony makes those decisions because he knows that, especially because I'm typically a woman, a multitasker, think about things. He goes, right, I make sure that we have Tony and Nikki time. Now, if I'm talking to the woman here, there is one phrase which I want to share with you, which is, I'd love it if. I'd love it if we did something just us two. Now, here's the big, 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 big mistake that women make is they go, I'd love it if we went to the theatre. And I've seen which one I'd like to go. And I think Thursday night, the tickets are a bit less. And so should we go? Right? Which is... basically taking all responsibility for doing it. And he's either got to go yes or no.
She's actually giving orders. She's actually giving orders.
Yeah, we're great observers of people.
Not making a request. I'd love it if we could go to the theatre.
So I do believe that men have to step up here because they've sort of come to the impression that this is what women want. But I'll tell you the two-liner story that I always say. So I say, men, listen, watch the women's faces. Often we've got men one side of the room, women the other side. So I go to the women. So the women, what would you prefer? Would you prefer your man to phone you up and say, darling, do you fancy going out tonight? The woman goes, yes. I always go, he's just handed her the baton. She's got a yes or no. Yeah. So don't hand her the baton. But anyway, so she says, yes. He says, where do you want to go? You know, do you want to go Chinese, baton? Indian, or do you want to go for fish and chips? Another baton. She's decided. And then he says, well, could you just book it, please? So now, you know, so I say to the women are already going and the men are going, oh, my God.
The women are going, yeah, that's what it's like.
So I said, all women, would you prefer this? Man phones woman up, wife up and says, look, get ready for 7:30. Just get yourself dressed up because I'm taking you somewhere special. It's a big surprise. So just be ready at 7:30. You can just see it. You can see. And I don't care if this is the most bombastic woman on the planet. That's Tilla the Hun type, you know.
Tilla the Hen.
They all melt when men say that. And men have forgotten that. They think
that women want to
want
make
the first one. They think that, and they're so wrong. They are so wrong. So that's part of the men learning that we teach. And it's a bit of fun. But I promise you it works.
Yeah.
So please put the time in the diary.
I completely concur with that. It does work, right? It does work. You've got to step up both partners.
Yes.
This has been brilliant. This conversation has been fantastic, guys. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. And I hope that the listeners and viewers have got some nuggets to take away. Yes. And some of this might be a little bit triggering, you know, especially when we talk about male and female. Ooh. And this isn't to say, you know, we're not talking about, you know, same sex couples and that.
It's the same dynamic,
right? In a different way, but it's the same dynamic. You've got to have the masculine and the feminine energy balanced.
The yin and the yang, you know,
You've got to have the yin and the yang.
They sit together. They work as a team.
And there's a little bit of yang in the yin and there's a little bit of yin in the yang.
Absolutely.
And you've got to have that. And you've got to have that working together in order for your not only your business to work, but your personal intimate relationship.
Absolutely.
Okay. Where can people get in touch with you if they want more of Tony Nikki V, and who wouldn't? So where can we find you?
Well, it's dead simple. Honestly, it's dead simple. It's just have to go to tonyandnikkiv.com. So it is Tony, T-O-N-Y and A-N-D. Nikki is N-I-C-K-I and then V, which is our name, V-E-E.com. So it's a bit of a mouthful, but type that in. You will come to our site and on there, there's what we call the relationship store. So there's lots of freebies in there. Some very, very, very good freebies. Where you start to have those realizations of what you're doing that's not working, that need a little bit of attention.
The top 10 things that go wrong, the seven big mistakes.
Yes, all of those sorts of things. There's a thing called the love zone, which is
what
one of my
zone are you in?
Which zone are you in? You know, because once you know that, you can do something about it. So yeah, go on there. There's lots of stuff. The way to really we work with people, I'll start to. If you feel challenged right now, there's a button there that says book your first session. And we have a fee for that, £75. So it's not like a big bucks or anything, you know, but it's to see it's a sort of hour bit and a bit session where we, you know, have a frank, we do this, the four of us. Yeah. We sit down.
And it's private.
It's private, confidential. And we have a good chat of where you are. And then we work out whether we are the right people to help because, you know, maybe sometimes we're not a great fit. I don't think we've ever really found that. But, you know, look, we will tell you from where you
are.
We'll recommend which of our programs is the best one to start getting you all on the same page. And as you said, down to the bottom of that V.
Brilliant, guys. I'll put a link to your website underneath this recording. And, so just want to say a huge thank you. It's lovely to see you. Thank you for having us on. You're very welcome.
Very appreciated.
All right. Bye for now.
Talk to you again. Bye for now.
Okay, bye.